like your new bike radio. How much did it cost?
Only 25p. I swapped my stamp collection for it at the H. Williams Swap Shop.
Swap Shop? How did that work?
Get your Swap Shop coupon in the Evening Herald or in any H. Williams shop. Then when you give 25 pence for the Central Remedial Clinic, you can get your badge and a chance to win one of £2,000 worth of prizes on Super Swap Day at the H. Williams new Bellali stores on October the 1st. Full details in the Evening Herald, every Wednesday and Saturday.
Ladies and gents, tone up, slim down, and keep fit at the Richmond Health and Leisure Center with the latest in sauna, swimming pool, and gyms. We can cater for all your health and leisure needs. Avail of our reduced rates for two joining. The Richmond Health and Leisure Center, Richmond Road, Drumcondra. Telephone 373-949.
Talk about Texas.
Talk about Texas home computer special offers. Buy a Texas Instruments home computer now at £239 and get accessories worth over £70 absolutely free.
Talk about Texas.
If you already have a Texas home computer and buy 6 solid-state software modules, a free speech synthesizer worth £80 is yours. Or a fabulous Texas cassette program recorder free.
Talk about Texas.
Talk about these amazing special offers before offers end.
Talk about Texas.
The moon is just right.
Style, elegance, and it's just beside the Gresham. Watch the night come alive at Rumors.
Broadcasting to Dublin on 828 kHz AM and 88 FM in stereo.
Radio Nova.
It's 7 o'clock. I'm David Malone. Good evening. The violence in Lebanon dominates this evening's news, with the situation in the capital Beirut continuing to deteriorate. British and French troops both came under fire today. In the latest incident, the French embassy has been hit by artillery shells. First reports say that 2 French soldiers have died in the attack and 6 people have been wounded. There's been shooting too near the American embassy. Gunmen are reported to have taken over a hotel near the building and have been shooting at American Marines. The Marines have been returning fire. There's also been an attack on the offices of the Lebanese Prime Minister. They came under heavy fire, but they've been defended by the Lebanese army. This morning, another French soldier was killed and 2 injured, 1 seriously, in a grenade attack. Latest reports from the area say that the Lebanese cabinet may resign. Meanwhile, in Washington, several congressmen concerned about the killing of 2 American Marines yesterday have called for all United States troops to be withdrawn from Lebanon. One of the congressmen said that the United States had no business playing policeman in Lebanon with a handful of Marines. However, President Reagan has decided to stage a show of force in the area. The nuclear-powered aircraft carrier Eisenhower has been ordered to sail to Beirut. A call for international sanctions against Israel has come from the head of the political section of the PLO. Speaking at the first full session of the United Nations Conference on the question of Palestine in Geneva, he called for sanctions to let the Israelis know that they had overstepped the limit, risking a catastrophe. The ruling coalition in Israel is looking for a new leader following confirmation that the Israeli Prime Minister, Mr. Menachem Begin, is to resign in a few days' time. Mr. Begin is 70. Earlier today, he had talks with his coalition colleagues, but they failed to persuade Mr. Begin to continue in office. The Israeli government has agreed to a request from President Reagan that the expected withdrawal of Israeli forces from the mountains around Beirut should be postponed for several days. It had been thought that the Israelis would start moving their troops out of the area tomorrow morning. The delay is designed to give mediators time to calm the present tension and hand over to the Lebanese army. Gardaí in County Clare have launched a murder investigation following the discovery of the body of a young woman in Ennis this morning. The body of the woman, believed to be aged about 20, was found behind a wall in the grounds of a local public house. The woman had been badly beaten. Local people say that the girl, who has not yet been named, was seen in the bar several times last night. A man is due to appear in court again in Ennis on Friday, charged with attempting to damage an Air France airliner. The 72-year-old Frenchman had been a passenger on the flight, which was forced to make an unscheduled landing at Shannon Airport after a small fire was discovered on board, together with a message saying that an incendiary device had been planted on the jet. You're listening to Independent Radio News from Dublin. The time, 7:03. A man was killed this morning when he was struck by the Dublin to Cork mail train in North Cork. A post-mortem on the body of John Keating from Churchtown in Mallow is to be carried out. Abroad again, and the Air France Boeing jet with 16 passengers and crew on board, which was hijacked by a group of Arabic-speaking gunmen 3 days ago, still hasn't left the tarmac at Tehran Airport, despite an announcement by the hijackers this morning that they wanted to leave for an undisclosed destination. The four gunmen told the airport authorities to start refueling and ordered the French pilot to prepare for takeoff. Latest reports say that the plane is being refueled and food is being taken on board. In Wales, more than 100 firemen have spent the day fighting a huge fire at the Amoco oil refinery in Milford Haven. It's in one of the 600,000 barrel oil storage tanks, which was half full of crude oil when the blaze started almost 8 hours ago. Firemen plan to cover the tank with foam this evening. They've spent the day trying to keep the outside of the tank cool to avoid an explosion. There are 50 other tanks on the site. The authorities in Poland have ordered Mr. Lech Wałęsa not to address a workers' meeting in Gdańsk tomorrow, to mark the third anniversary of the foundation of the Solidarity Trade Union. Mr. Wałęsa has apparently changed his plans to avoid a clash with police. He'd originally planned to take part in a march to a Solidarity monument outside the Lenin shipyard. The state-run radio station says that anyone taking part in demonstrations tomorrow will be punished severely. The governor of San Diego, the capital of Chile, has been shot dead in a street ambush on his car. It was Major General Carol Urza, who died in a burst of machine gun fire from a lorry carrying five people, including a woman. His driver was also killed. Police and security men cordoned off the area in the eastern suburbs of the capital. An anonymous telephone call to a radio station in San Diego claimed that a revolutionary movement known as MIR carried out the attack. All is reported to be going well on the latest American space mission. The shuttle Challenger was launched shortly after 7:30 this morning. It's now orbiting the Earth after its successful launch from Cape Canaveral in Florida. Challenger will be in space for 6 days, and if all does go according to plan, during which time it'll launch a communication satellite for India. Two sisters from County Donegal, who were jailed in Britain in 1975 on terrorist bomb charges, have been released. Anne and Eileen Gillespie left Stile Prison in Cheshire early this morning, having served 8 of their 14-year sentences. They've flown to Dublin, where they were met by their families and friends. Eileen is 30 and Anne 33. They were convicted of conspiring to cause explosions and arson, and of possessing explosive substances. Floods in the Basque region of northern Spain have resulted in a threat to the beaches along the southwest coast of France. Barrels of toxic chemicals have been washed ashore on the holiday beaches, along with other debris brought in on the tide from Spain. Some of the barrels contain cyanide. The carcasses of drowned cattle and a number of vehicles have also been washed ashore. Local officials intend to seal off the affected areas. This evening's financial report, and this evening the Irish pound closed at 78.19 against sterling and at 1.1685 US dollars. On the European money markets, the Irish pound is currently worth 3.15 Deutschmarks, 9.45 French francs, 178 pesetas, or 3.52 Dutch guilders. On the London market, spot gold closed at $417.88 per fine ounce, and spot silver at 8.12 sterling again per fine ounce. The Financial Times index closed down 5.8 at 716.3, and on Wall Street, the Dow Jones index at 5 p.m. stood up 2.54 at 1196.65. That's the financial report courtesy of Comex Commodity Brokers on 608-977. Radio Nova.
Hello, good evening and welcome. I'm Sybil Fennell. This is Dublin Today on Radio Nova 828 AM. Over on 88 FM, by the way, the rock show has just begun for alternative radio listening. But here on Dublin Today, between 9 and 7.30, we'll be looking at the split in Fianna Fáil over the amendment issue. Our studio guests will be City Councillor Michael Donnelly and rank and file member Alan Graham. Gig Guide will have details of what's on entertainment-wise around town. And we hear about Ireland's first CND peace camp at Mount Gabriel. Don't forget, if you have any comments to make about tonight's programme, our Dublin Today phone number is 604043. But first, today started particularly early for some of us. And for one particular person, it was a very happy day. Namely, Dolores Carney, who today walked away with £6,000 in cash in the biggest radio cash giveaway ever. Well, after all the excitement and hubbub had died down, Metro Cars kindly brought the traumatised trim lady into the Dublin Today studio, where she was interviewed this morning by Declan Meehan. But before that interview, and for those of you who weren't up early enough to hear the breakfast programme, here's how the whole thing happened. Hello, Radio Nova, good morning to you.
You played the three calls.
That's quite right. We have played the three songs. Could I have your name, first of all, please?
Dolores Carney.
Dolores Carney.
Yes.
Dolores, where are you phoning from, please?
Trim, County Meath.
Trim in County Meath.
Yes.
That's quite a fair distance away from our
fair
city. Okay, have you been waiting long for this moment for us to play the three songs?
Well, we were travelling up to work 20 miles away.
You were travelling up towards Dublin?
No, we were travelling 20 miles to work. We were listening all the way.
So you're driving to work 20 miles each day?
Yes, that's right.
So you have a car at this stage?
Yes, that's right.
Well, tell me, I suppose at this stage, Dolores, I should ask you, are you at home or at work?
Well, I'm at work now.
You're at work. Are you by yourself in there?
No, well, there's a few others with me.
So you have a crowd of supporters?
That's right, yes.
Dolores, have you any idea what caller you are?
Well, I'm hoping I'm 50.
Dolores? You're right.
Oh, dear.
You're caller number 50. You've won £6,000 in cash from Radio Nova.
Yes, and we have Dolores in the studio with us right now. Dolores, what was your reaction at that moment?
Oh, I just couldn't believe it. I really couldn't. I never thought I would be the 50th caller. I was hoping all right, but I never thought it would be me.
Exactly what happened? When did you hear the three songs?
Well, I heard the first song as I was falling out of bed in the as I was getting out of bed in the morning, and I didn't really register, but then when we were in the car, I heard the second and third song, and I just happened to say to Jerry, there are the three songs.
Jerry's the husband.
Jerry's my husband, yes. And, not thinking at all I'd have a chance, you know, to ring in Trim 20 miles away, you know.
So you weren't near a phone box. What did you do?
I didn't even know to me that it could be me, you know. I was just listening to the people ringing in and saying it's the second or third call and fourth call. And I was really pitying them, you know, because I could hear the disappointment in their voices, you know, when they realized it wasn't them. So, that's all.
Right, so Jerry put the boot down and you headed into work, did you?
Well, we were taking it nice and easy until we got into Trim. We're about a mile outside Trim when we realised that we could make it if we did put the boot down. And Jerry went 60 miles an hour into the Trim zone. And I was saying to him, it's not worth this because we're not going to win it anyway. There's no point in doing this, you know.
So how many times did you dial?
Only once.
Only the once?
Yes.
Oh, goodness me, there were people ringing up all over the place.
That's right, yeah.
So in came the call and you're the winner. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Can we ask you what age you are?
Yes, you can.
Thanks. Will we get an answer?
Oh, you will. I'm 26.
Right, and you're married to Jerry. How long have you been married?
Well, we're a year married since the 31st of July.
And any little Jerrys and Dolores?
No, not yet.
And what do you do with yourself during the daytime and
well, I work in Trim. Jerry and myself work in Trim. I work till 9 till 5, or half 5.
What job do you do?
I work in Trim Proof Limited. I'm a computer operator there.
Oh, I see.
Other things.
So you don't need the 6,000?
I do, yes, definitely.
What are you going to do with the money?
Well, we're hoping to sell we have our house up for sale in Knobber, like 20 miles away from Trim, and we both work in Trim, so we thought it'll go towards a house in Trim.
Great, and we're all invited down to at the house warmer.
You certainly are.
Dolores and Jerry Carney risking life and limb there to get to a phone and enter the £6,000 giveaway. You're listening to Dublin Today. It's 12 minutes past 7. The Gig Guide is next.
On Radio Nova.
There'll be a Harvest Moon Ball in Slane Castle on Friday, September the 16th. It's in aid of the Arthritis Foundation of Ireland and tickets cost £20. Phone 697222. That's 697222 for information. The Whitehall Community Information Centre is open tomorrow evening between 7 and 9. They offer free legal advice to local residents. A fashion show featuring the designs of Pat Crowley will be held in the Shelbourne Hotel on Monday next at 8 o'clock. It's in aid of Anthashka.
On the gig scene, Mama's Boys are in the Bagot Inn tonight. On Saturday, they play Punchestown Racecourse in the first in a series of indoor nighttime gigs at the racecourse. Doors open on Saturday at 10 o'clock. And the Neighbours are in the Lawrence Hotel in Hove tonight.
Well, if you're one of the thousands of people that are preparing for the Radio Nova Puma 10K on the 25th of September, then the following training groups are now operating this evening. At Ballyfermot, there's a training group at the Lawns. It starts at 8:30. If you live in Clondalkin, then at 8 o'clock, the venue is the Kingswoods Heights School Green. At Glasnevin, you'll have to get your skates on because it starts at 7:30. There's a training session at Prospect Square.
Right, and so back once more to the gig guide. Tomorrow night, Mirage are in the Ivy Rooms in Parnell Street, Red Peter's Band are in the Purty Kitchen in Dunleary, and Les Fruits are in Slattery's in Capel Street each and every Wednesday evening. Well, Barry Manilow comes to Dublin to the RDS on Friday and Saturday of this week. The concert is long since sold out. Music from Barry Manilow tonight, the track, some kind of friend.
I saw you at the Beechwood Cafe. You looked at me and then you looked away. That was some kind of friend you turned out to be. You said you had places that you had to be. Now who is gonna be there? Lady, that was some kind of friend you turned out to be. Turned out to be, that was some kind of friend you turned out to be. Turned out to be. They say a woman like you can't get enough. Got your Maserati built for two. They say that women like you like to play with love. Is that
kind of friend, and Barry is in Dublin later this week. On August the 22nd last, a letter appeared in the Irish Times newspaper written by two rank-and-file members of Fianna Fáil and establishing that a Fianna Fáil Against the Amendment group had been set up. The letter was critical of Fianna Fáil's support for the amendment, which it said was unthinking. Because of its support, the letter continued, in one fell swoop, Fianna Fáil was in danger of losing its broad base as a political party. The two Fianna Fáil members said they would be voting no for a number of reasons. Because they opposed abortion in principle, because it was divisive and wasteful, because the wording was vague and ambiguous, because abortion was already illegal in Ireland both north and south, and because Eamon de Valera, when framing the Constitution in 1937, had thought to include the views of minority churches and to ensure that the Constitution would not be amended in an excessive or ill-considered way. So one section of Fianna Fáil, the grassroots section, is obviously not happy with the party's commitment to having this 8th amendment to the Constitution. But on the other hand, the wording being proposed is that of Fianna Fáil. No Oireachtas member of Fianna Fáil has as yet publicly expressed doubts or reservations about it, and Dublin City Council have passed a motion supporting the amendment, a motion that was proposed by Fianna Fáil councillor Michael Donnelly. Well, joining Jenny McIver and I now in studio to discuss just these facts are Councillor Michael Donnelly and Alan Graham, the rank-and-file member of Fianna Fáil, who established the group Fianna Fáil Against the Amendment.
Well, Michael Donnelly and Alan Graham, first of all, you're both very welcome to the programme. Michael, first of all, if I could turn to you. You proposed the motion which was supporting this amendment at City Council level. This was passed by a narrow majority. So you've kept very much in line with party policy and thinking on this issue. Well, how do you feel about the reservations, for example, of someone like Alan Graham, who calls himself a rank and file member of the Fianna Fáil party? How do you feel about his reservations?
Well, I think Alan can voice his own opinion on the matter, and I think nobody could do that better than he himself. But could I just say this, that the wording which is before the people was the wording proposed by Fianna Fáil and adopted by both houses of the Oireachtas. It was, of course, also the wording which both main parties accepted before the last general election. So if we're talking about a split within parties, it's certainly not to Fianna Fáil that this applies. It's just something that is without any foundation. There's clearly a split, unfortunately, in the coalition on this matter. The commitment given has not been honoured. But many members of the Fine Gael Oireachtas party have said that they are going to vote yes, they're going to support the amendment. And if you were interested in political splits, well, it's to the opposition you would look. But really, I should say this, that this is something that goes way beyond party lines. To me, we're talking about something very fundamental, the most basic human right that could exist, that is the right to live.
Perhaps, Michael, just to interrupt you,
really,
if I could turn to the
issue.
Opposition for the moment, who at this stage is Alan Graham. Alan, you claim that there is quite a lot of opposition to the wording that Fianna Fáil is putting before the people on September 7th. Now, what's the basis for that claim?
Well, I think, first of all, if I could say that we've used words splits and opposition, I'm in no way opposed to Michael's philosophy of politics, and I think he mine, where I feel there may be some differences, particularly just on this issue, so I'm anxious that we steer away from words like splits and opposition. I believe there is quite a groundswell now within Fianna Fáil. I think it's still a minority in Fianna Fáil who feel that in the light of the events that have happened, in the light of people like Malcolm Muggeridge, very much an anti-abortionist, changing his mind during the course of the debate, they feel that the wording may be slightly dubious. Now, where there is doubt, I feel people must vote no. I think something else that maybe I haven't alluded to in my own group of what you call rank and file members haven't alluded to before, and that is the question of the promise. What Fianna Fáil did, and it has stuck to it, and there's no question of a split or any difference, what Fianna Fáil promised to do was to put before the people the possibility of voting on this, I agree, human rights issue. What I'm saying now to all members of the party, in particular Oireachtas members and county councillors like Michael Donnelly, is having given that promise, we must now consider the wording which is in front of us, and the wording is dangerous.
There, Alan, on the wording itself, Michael, if I could ask you, are you entirely satisfied with the wording that has been put in this referendum on September 7th?
I'm satisfied that it meets what we're seeking to achieve, and that is to protect the right to life in such a way that that can never be changed without going back to the public. Of course, you could consider different wordings indefinitely, but I believe that this wording is reasonable, is responsible, and of course it was accepted by both main political parties, as I said, before the election. I think it will achieve what we set out to achieve, and that is to now provide in our constitution support for the unborn in such a way that that can never be threatened unless the people want to change it. In other words, there will have to be another referendum if there is a desire to change that it cannot be done through legislation or by a decision of whatever court.
But are you entirely happy with phrases in that wording, for example the unborn, for example equal right to life of the mother and the unborn,
and
well,
the
other one
which
says
important.
As far as practicable, I mean, what exactly do those phrases mean?
I think that wording is very wise and very sound, and I think it makes it clear that the right to life of the mother is protected equally to the right to life of the unborn. And what is very important about this is that all existing legislation which provides for medical practices which protect the life of the mother up to now, that'll all remain the very same if this amendment
is
adopted.
But on what authority do you make that claim that it will remain the same? How do you know that?
Because that's what it says. I'm looking. You see, I think there's been so much confusion caused in this debate, which has really distracted from the basic principle. The basic principle is this. Should we, at this stage in development and looking at what has happened in other countries, should we take our legislation a step further? and protect the rights of the unborn child more firmly than simply an Act of Parliament. Now, the Act of Parliament exists at the moment. It makes abortion illegal in Ireland. What the, this wording will achieve is this, that simply cannot be changed by an Act of the Oireachtas. If we want to make any changes in the future, we'll have to go back to the people. What could be more democratic than that?
Alan, could you please?
Yes, I fail to understand the basis of the argument. If nothing is going to be changed, I wonder in the first instance why we need this amendment. But secondly, I fear that we may in fact be taking the matter out of the hands of our elected, democratically elected legislators, and we may be putting the matter in the hands of the court. Now, it appears to be that the pro-life or pro-amendment people don't want this either. What we have in front of us here in the amendment is, I say it against myself as a lawyer, is a field day for lawyers, because it's full of great possibilities for lawyers to make money, and nothing to do with the protection of innocent children, be they unborn or otherwise.
Well, if we just could pause here, Alan, you're unhappy with the wording, not only with the wording, also with the your own party, Fianna Fáil's, commitment to this particular amendment. Michael, you're quite happy that the wording is adequate. So today we went out on the streets to find out exactly how people feel at this stage about the amendment. Are they entirely happy and clear about what the issue is, whether they should vote yes or no? So this is some of the reaction we got.
I don't know what way I'm going to vote yet, because it's very, very confusing. I feel at this stage that I'm more mixed up now than when I started hearing about the amendment at the very beginning. Couldn't vote because I think that we've been confused by the whole matter altogether.
I'm not going to vote at all because I think it's a waste of time.
Definitely I won't vote because I think most people are talking about, politicians and all, having a clue what they're talking about. They all seem to be contradicting each other.
I think that most people's minds are boggled with all this chat about the amendment. You know, it's not very clear. It's not in a sort of an abortion issue, if you like. It's not a cut and dried yes or no. I think there is still a lot of confusion in a lot of people's minds.
Well, at this stage, I'm very confused. I really don't know what to do, because so many people are changing their minds that were for it, and I don't know what to do. I'll probably vote no.
I find it very difficult to decide. It's a lot of religious aspects in it, and it's just a difficult question. It'll take me a long time to get an answer to it. I think it's a question that each individual can only answer.
Well, at this stage, I'm really confused. I don't know what to do.
Neither of the sides will listen to each other. No, they're totally deaf, and they believe that what they think is true. And they're not prepared to listen. It's up to the people themselves, it's their conscience. That's what they should be following.
I don't know which way I'm going to vote, because too many people are telling you what to do. And the information available, I think, is just not accurate enough. Because you're getting, one solicitor getting up and saying, no, this won't happen. You have another solicitor getting up and saying, yes, this is going to happen. So what do you do, you know?
Well, I have absolutely no idea how I'm going to vote. Because I'm afraid if I vote yes, I'm going to put my own life in danger.
I have listened quite carefully to and watched all the programmes on television. And I think that what really emerges from it is that things are all right at the moment, as far as I can see. I don't want to change things because I think we won't know what will happen.
The thing that they're trying to make, yes, is so vague, and vague is the only word to describe it. I'm being kind by saying vague. So many ifs and buts about it. You'd have to vote no until you get a better wording.
I'm not totally clear on all the issues, but I'm informed enough to make a vote.
Well, if various politicians are changing their minds at this stage, what hope is there for any of us? There most certainly must be a doubt in anybody's mind. In fact, everybody's mind.
So, Alan, quite a lot of vagueness there about the wording, and which seems to support what you're saying, that it isn't clear enough, it's still very ambiguous. So what do you think can be done at this stage, this very late stage, to make people aware of what this amendment is actually about? Can anything be done?
I think it's difficult at this stage. Incidentally, people are listening to each other. I'm listening to Councillor Donnelly, and he's listening to me in a reasonably reasoned way. I don't think there's a great deal that can be done, and that's why I'm suggesting to members of the Fianna Fáil Oireachtas Party that there has now arisen. It may not have happened in the first place, but it has arisen in the light of the debate, and not all the debate has been unreasonable. Now there is confusion. Now, I say, is the time to have the courage to say, look, we better just take a hold on ourselves and call halt. And the way you call halt to this dangerous situation is by voting no.
Michael, would you agree that if people are confused at this stage, they should vote no?
No, I don't think that's the situation at all. If there's confusion, there's an obligation on people who are participating in the debate to speak clearly and to speak about relevant parts of the debate, and not to drag in red herrings and some completely bogus points, which I regret to say have been dragged in, not in this discussion here, but over the past 2 or 3 months. What I would say is this, that really the issues are clear-cut. It is an amendment that is dealing with abortion. It clearly is dealing with nothing else. It's protecting the right to life of the unborn. I think that is crystal clear. And if, and this is very important, if for whatever reason, we fail to pass this amendment, it will be interpreted that we have consciously decided not to provide constitutional protection for the unborn, and that will be interpreted in a very dangerous way in the future. And the danger, in fact, lies in not voting yes. The danger lies in, particularly for people who say they're totally opposed to abortion, but they have doubts about this wording, the danger is in declining to pass this amendment now that it is before us. Even, I would say that even to people who think maybe there shouldn't have been a referendum.
But just to answer the question very clearly, if people are confused, should they vote yes or no?
Well, obviously, if people are confused, it's very hard to ask them to vote either way. The obligation is for people who are writing about this and debating it to make the issue clear and not to drag in red herrings. And that obligation will have to be measured up to in the last 7 days. And I think people who are confused should try and seek out the issues as best they can. The issue to me is quite clear. Are we going to provide constitutional protection for the unborn, or are we not?
Finally, Alan Graham, for you, if you're confused, what is the best thing to do?
I believe the only answer can be to come out and vote. I don't believe people should sit at home and say they're confused. I believe they should come out and they should vote clearly no.
Both of you, thank you very much for joining us. Sybil.
Thank you, Jenny. And our studio guests again this evening, just to reiterate, have been Mr. Alan Graham and Councillor Michael Donnelly. Well, over the past 4 days, the Cork branch of the Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament have held a peace camp at the telecommunications base on Mount Gabriel. The base at Mount Gabriel, you may remember, featured in the news not so long ago when it was the subject of an attack by members of the Irish National Liberation Army. Despite repeated denials by government spokesmen, the Cork branch claimed that the base is being used for NATO purposes and is therefore directly interfering with Ireland's neutrality. Today we spoke to a member of the youth group, Aidan Lenehan, by telephone and asked him why the camp had been set up at this particular time.